As a new year gets underway, many people feel motivated to do things like lose weight, cut back on social media, and yes, get out of debt. Unfortunately, New Year's motivation often wanes quickly. Hi, I'm Rob West, and today I want to give you practical ideas for turning a New Year's resolution into genuine progress, at least in the getting out of debt area. That's just ahead. Then to the phones for your questions on any financial topic. Our number is 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, as you may know, every so often on our Monday program, we like to revisit the five basic things you can do with money. Here they are. You can earn it, live on it, give it away, owe it to someone or the government, or you can grow it for the future by saving and investing. So that's earn, live, give, owe, and grow. Well, today I want to focus on the fourth of those, owe. As I mentioned, a lot of people at the first of the year resolve to get out of debt or at least make progress on reducing their debt. That's a good resolution because debt, especially consumer debt, things like credit cards, put a drag on your overall finances. Getting those debts paid off will improve your financial situation tremendously and provide a great sense of freedom in your finances. But as I say, motivation often wanes quickly. As we get a few weeks into the year, many resolutions fall by the wayside. So to stay motivated, you need to have a plan. You may remember that a few days ago, I mentioned the idea of making your resolutions SMART. That is S-M-A-R-T, and that stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. So let's start with this specific thing related to debt. Find out where you are. By that, I mean you need to have a concrete understanding of how much you owe and to whom, along with the terms, including the interest rates. You need to know that because, just to give an example, it'll make much more sense financially to attack a credit card debt that's at 18% than a car loan that's at 3%. Okay, so that's the first thing. Find where you are. As you catalog your debts, I suggest you list them in order from the lowest balance to the highest. Second, and this too is very specific, stop adding to your debt. As the old saying goes, it's hard to get out of a hole if you keep digging deeper. You may want to stop using credit cards and instead move to a debit card or cash for your spending. That'll help you avoid further debt. Now, third, this is an idea from financial writer Matt Bell. He says, tell someone what you're doing. In other words, ask someone to hold you accountable to your plan to get out of debt. It's remarkable how much it helps to have an accountability partner when it comes to following through on what you've committed to doing. Fourth, create a specific plan for paying down your debt. Now, there are different ways to approach this. Perhaps the easiest method is to commit a specific amount to debt reduction each month. Let's say it's $500 and you have five credit cards. Pay at least the minimum balance on four of your cards, but pay as much as you possibly can on the card with the lowest balance. So to continue the example, let's say your minimum payments total $300. So you pay that, but then pay the remaining $200 toward the lowest balance card. When you focus your payments this way, you'll be able to pay off that lowest balance card soon. Then, when it's paid off, you'll keep paying $500 a month on your debt, but now focus your attention on the new lowest balance card. After a while, when that one is paid off, you keep paying $500 a month and put most of the money toward the new lowest balance card. This approach of fixing your overall payment at the same amount each month and attacking the lowest balance card will create a steady sense of progress that you'll find encouraging. And note how this approach is smart. It's specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. It's not vague at all. It's clear and purposeful. Now, after you get all your credit cards paid for, you can then start attacking other debts that may be at much lower interest rates, such as car loans and school loans. If you were paying $500 a month against your credit cards, that $500 is now freed up to accelerate payments on your other debts. This process of creating a systematic plan for paying down debt has worked for many, many people. And again, First, you need to get a clear picture of where you are, then commit to not taking on more debt, and finally, create a clear, easy-to-implement plan that you can stick with. By the way, it's really important to get an accountability partner. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. Much more to come. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There's a big difference, astronomical actually, between the religions of the world and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the easiest way to see it is to think about children. Children teach us a lot. In fact, Jesus said in the book of Matthew that our faith ought to be like a child, especially when we make a mistake. Religions of this world tell us to hide. The gospel tells us to seek and to knock and to ask for help. When we sin, religious says, "I hope Dad doesn't find out." The gospel says, "I better tell Dad." Christ frees us from fear and from hiding and frees us into a life of love because of our gracious Heavenly Father. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thrilled to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. As we start a new broadcast week, we're glad you've decided to tune in today. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. I'd love to hear from you. What are you thinking about financially? Let's talk about it together and see if we can help you apply biblical wisdom from God's Word, of course, to the financial decisions and choices you're making today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000, whether it's your spending plan, your debt repayment, maybe it's your giving or your investing. Maybe it's your identity. Have you been worried about identity theft? Maybe you've been the subject to identity theft and wanting to know how to protect yourself moving forward, or even that credit score. Let's talk about what you're thinking about today. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Before we head to the phones, we started today on the topic of debt. And if you're someone who's worried or struggling with credit card debt, but don't know where to start, let me recommend our trusted underwriter, Christian Credit Family Counselors. They've worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of our Faith and Finance listeners. They offer a debt management program to get you out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. Their faith-based mission will also consider your values and goals as a Christian. They'll help you put together a budget, and through one fixed monthly payment routed through them with lower interest rates, you'll get that paid off in no time. Learn more at ChristianCreditCounselors.org to start getting out of debt today. And let me just tell you, debt management is my preferred way to get out of credit card debt. If you've got more than $4,000 in credit card debt, we find that that's the most effective place to go. I wouldn't use a consolidation loan. I definitely wouldn't use debt settlement. And if you have less than $4,000 in credit card debt, just snowball it yourself. The key is start with that spending plan, reduce your spending as much as you can to free up margin so you can attack the smallest balance first over and above your minimum payment. Get that one knocked out and just move right down the line. Under $4,000, that's the best way to go. Hopefully that's helpful to you today as you try to get out of debt once and for all here in the new year. All right, again, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Let's begin today in Maryland. Hi, Marie. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
And the question that I have today is I am about to marry or considering marrying a gentleman I love dearly, but he has a lot of debt. He has acknowledged that, and he's working to reduce the debt. My question is, if we went ahead and got married and he were to pass away before he completed paying for the debt, would that make me responsible for the debt because we're married?
Yeah, that's a good question. You are not responsible for a credit card that's solely in your future husband's name. You're not responsible for someone else's debt unless you were to be a co-signer, which clearly for this debt that he'd be bringing into the marriage, you're not. Now, one thing to consider is if you all then moving forward have joint assets, his portion of those joint assets at death would then be available as a part of his estate, and creditors would be able to access those funds to ensure that those balances were paid back. That may be a reason to keep your assets separate. At the very least, just know that moving forward, any jointly held assets, his share would be available for recourse on the part of the creditor. So you've just got to keep that in mind. The other thing I would consider here, Marie, is, as you're considering and preparing for marriage, I would do a lot of talking about finances just to make sure you understand what was, go all the way back to what was money like growing up and, how does he view money? Did he grow up in a situation where money was scarce? Was it plentiful? What are some of his earliest memories about money? And then move all the way through, how do you all want to approach your finances now? Because the fact that there is a lot of debt there, maybe that's from past mistakes and habits that have been resolved, but you're going to want to know that. It's not a deal killer, but at the same time, keep in mind, 70% of married couples have conflict over this area of their marriage, finance. And if he is regularly spending beyond his means, or there's some other reason that the debt has been accumulated in the past that might carry over, that could be a real source of conflict. And I think you all need to go into this having had a lot of conversation about what is our lifestyle going to look like? Are we going to live on a budget? How are we going to ensure we live within our means and that we don't incur more debt down the road? And what are the underlying issues and values that really led to the debt in the first place? I just want to strongly encourage you to have a lot of those perhaps even hard conversations so that you all have a good game plan going into marriage so this area of money is unifying and not a source of division. Does that make sense?
It does make a lot of sense. Thank you so much.
All right. Let me do this, Marie. If you hold the line, our team will get your information. I'd like to send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book, Money and Marriage God's Way. And I think that might be a helpful resource for you. There's no cost. It's our gift to you. But perhaps you and your future husband could sit down right now, even before marriage, and maybe work through that book a chapter at a time just to open up some conversation, not because you want to do any finger pointing or anything like that. But this is just an area where in preparing for marriage, this could be a great resource to foster some open dialogue that I think might be helpful. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information and get that book, Money and Marriage, God's Way, right out to you. Thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got several lines open today, and we'd love to hear from you on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Let's head to Texas. Teresa, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I really liked what you said about the SMART method of paying down debt.
Yes.
I have paid off all my credit cards, and I just used my debit card. And I have two major debts, a home equity loan of $91,000, and I've pretty much paid all the interest on them. I'm now paying interest in principal, and a parent-student loan of about $60,000. So my question, and I don't know what the interest rate on either is. I wasn't prepared to ask this question, but which should I start paying down first?
Yes. Did you say it's a home equity line of credit or a home equity loan that you have on the house?
Equity line of credit.
Okay. Yeah, I'd probably start there because that's going to have a variable interest rate, Teresa. That interest rate has likely been moving up pretty considerably over the last 9 months or more, and it will continue to do so as the Federal Reserve raises the Fed funds rate. So I would get that one paid off as quick as you can, just given the variable nature of that rate. How much do you have left on that HELOC?
What?
How much is remaining on the balance?
$91,000.
$91,000. Okay. Yeah. And you don't know. Do you know how much is on the Parent Plus loans?
About $60,000.
Okay. Yeah. So I would prioritize that home equity line of credit just because of the variable rate. That's going to get more and more expensive over time. We appreciate your call today. God bless you, Teresa. Safe travels as you head wherever you're going. 800-525-7000. Give us a call. We'll be right back after this.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Before we head back to the phones, let me remind you, you know, here in the new year, it's a great time to review your budget. Well, to help, we're offering special savings when you download the FaithFi app. Not only can you manage money like other leading apps, but you will also get access to leading biblical financial resources and a community of like-minded believers on their stewardship journey along with you. No other finance app offers all these elements in one place, specifically built for God's people. So go to faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, and click app to get started. And know that when you use the app, you're helping to fund our ongoing outreach to share God's financial principles with others. Again, it's on our brand new website, faithfi.com, and just click the app button to get started. All right, a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. Back to the phones we go. Beaumont, Texas. Joseph, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Hi there.
I mean, first of all, let me commend you on what you're doing, because it's God sent. We need to know about all the things that's going on, and I've been listening to your station now for about 2 months, and I just want to tell you, I am so thankful that God has put it on your heart to do what y'all are doing.
Well, thank you, Joseph. That's very kind.
My question is simply this. Can a lending institution, after 8 years of a charge-off, can that institution take out of your IRA after they done charged a debt off like a checking account?
No. So there's a statute of limitations there. So give me the history on it. It was a credit card that you did not pay. Is that right?
No. What happened is I got married. When I got married, my wife had an accident where she had to go in the hospital. And going into the hospital, make a long story short, one of her brothers charged off on her credit card. We come to find out after 4 years that there was a $260 charge off on her checking account, or on our checking account, because my name was on it. She had an IRA before we got married, but I was under the impression, so was she, that when we went and put my name on the bank, it was on everything. Make a long story short, the credit union just sent us a letter 2 months ago asking us to not opt out, that they had went to another type federal. I think they went to state, from federal to state. Anyway, they wanted us to opt out on not taking them to court. That sounds kind of funny when I got the letter, because we hadn't received nothing from this institution for almost a year. So I call and ask, and when I ask, here it is now going on 3 months, and they still haven't gave me an answer. I have power of attorney, and been having power of attorney now for 7 years of my wife, because my wife is disabled. So
yes,
I take all the information to the bank, and now they're at a standstill. So my question again is, because what they did was they took the $260 out of her RA account, out of our RA account, which I know they couldn't have done that after they filed the charge off. Am I correct to say that?
Yeah, I'm not an attorney, but I will just say, generally speaking, retirement accounts, including IRAs and 401ks, are protected unless you start withdrawing the funds. So, procedures for garnishment vary by state, and so they would have to secure approval through a judgment before they would be able to garnish anything. But even then, generally speaking, retirement accounts are protected against that sort of activity. So even if you were, not just with a charge off, but if they were to sue you, the firm were to sue you and then have a judgment placed against you, even then, where certain assets could be accessed, including accessing to funds in your checking account, retirement funds that are still in that retirement account would generally be protected. So I would be on that, though, if you want to get additional information. It's always a good idea to have an attorney that you could consult with, just so you understand kind of what's legally permissible and what's not, and how you need to proceed moving forward. With regard to who took out the debt in the first place, obviously, there, as a believer, we want to honor our debts in full. And so when we made a commitment to do so to the best of our ability, we want to pay those back. Now, that may mean that in some cases you get forced into bankruptcy. I don't think that's the issue here. I think the issue is, how do we ultimately pay this back? You remember, the Bible says the wicked borrows and does not repay. And so we need to have an absolute commitment to repayment as we are able, which means we've got to limit lifestyle and take the funds that God provides and use those to honor our obligations. But with regard to garnishment, specifically related to a retirement account, again, those are generally protected. But beyond that, I'd probably seek out some wise counsel from an attorney. We appreciate your call today, Joseph. God bless you as you navigate this situation and try to help your family member deal with this. And I know this was related to an accident, which is always even more challenging. God bless you, sir. To Michigan. Hey, Dennis, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We are getting ready to close on a property that we purchased a year ago in Florida. It's a flip, and we are going to be receiving about $240,000. $40,000 of that will be debt that we are going to pay off. There's going to be about $8,000 of that we will give to our church and other charitable organizations that we feel. That is our 10%, our tithe. And then we will be doing some income properties. And I need a little money there, maybe $50,000. But we're going to have a good over $100,000 left that we'd like to know where to put for a good investment.
Yeah, and very good. Well, let's talk about that. I've got to hit a quick break here, Dennis. When we come back, if you can hold the line, I'd love to weigh in on that and see if we can help you make some decisions. This is Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. When we come back, we'll talk to Dennis and perhaps your question. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
Everybody thinks about making changes as a new year begins. We want to improve our finances and get healthier. We want to spend more time with family and friends, but what kind of spiritual commitments are you making? I encourage you to set aside time every day to read your Bible and pray. Get involved in a good church. Serve the Lord with your time and resources. Do something with your life that will last for eternity. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free faith and finance account. Just visit faithfi.com and click sign up.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're delighted you're tuning in today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call with your financial questions. Just before the break, we were talking to Dennis in Michigan. Dennis has sold an investment property. Other than some capital gains taxes, they want to do some giving, pay down some debt, but they're going to be left with a sizable sum that they're looking to invest. And Dennis, you all are not planning to roll any of this into a new investment property. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, it would be, like I said, we'll probably use some of it, but we'll have a good, like you said, sizable. We'll have $100,000 or more. Okay. We'd like to put it somewhere where it can do something for us.
Very good. And have you already sold the property? Have you closed on this sale?
This week we should be closing.
Okay. Well, reason I mention that is, you know, with any of the portion of this property that you want to do some giving on, you could actually give that away prior to the sale in a donor advised fund. You would just give a percentage of the property prior to the sale, and then that would avoid the capital gains tax on that portion. It may be a little too late for that, but if not, you could check with our friends at the National Christian Foundation. They could help you put that together. It's not a complicated transaction. Essentially, a donor advised fund is like a charitable checking account, and you can contribute not only cash, but assets like stocks and real estate, and you could put a portion equal to the amount you were going to do some giving on, and then that portion would be outside of the sale and again, not subject to capital gains, which would allow you to give a little bit more away. At this point, it may or may not make sense, just given how far along you are, but I wanted to throw that idea out there. I love that you're thinking through this in terms of, you know, how to be wise with this money. I mean, given that you're going to have $100,000 plus left, would you like to turn this over to an advisor to help you build and manage the portfolio of stocks and bonds, or are you looking to do this yourself?
We could probably do it ourselves. We'd like some advice on that. But I would, maybe at the end of the show, I could get a name and number from you folks if I need help.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts on that. I mean, I think that would be the place to go, Dennis. You know, I mean, you've been in the real estate, and we'd be talking about moving into stocks and bonds, which is, you know, a more passive type investment, which is great. It's probably the most effective place to build wealth over time. And the good news is you'd be kind of buying into the market, so to speak, on both the stocks and the bonds at an attractive level, far more attractive than if you were doing this a year ago. So that's a good thing. And you know, it doesn't mean that the market couldn't go down from here. It certainly could, especially if we hit, rather than maybe a shallow recession this year, a little bit of a deeper recession. But the market will recover, and as long as you have a 10-year time horizon or more, I think that's the place to go. And you just want to think through your goals and objectives and your risk tolerance, and then build a portfolio that's, you know, commensurate with how you want to proceed, and then maintain that long-term perspective. A couple of suggestions on where to go from here in terms of actually deploying these funds. If you want to do it yourself, but just kind of with some guidance, our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could be really helpful. They would make, either through their newsletter or their website, some recommendations on just high-quality mutual funds that would fit your stage of life and goals and objectives. You would open the account at Fidelity or Schwab, wherever you wanted, in terms of a high-quality discount brokerage firm, and then you'd use their no-load mutual fund recommendations to actually build the portfolio. So it's still pretty hands-on. You've just kind of got their intelligence, if you will, on making those selections. If you wanted to delegate this to an investment advisor, somebody you'd meet with, and you know they'd do a lot of discovery with you about what you're trying to do and your goals and objectives and values as a believer, but you want them to actually take over the management of the portfolio with all of that in mind, then we would recommend a certified Kingdom advisor there in Michigan. And you'd just head to our website, faithfi.com, and search Find a CKA. And you could do a zip code search and interview two or three CKAs and find the one that's the best fit. But I think one of those two approaches would serve you really well.
One more little thing. For something, if we wanted to keep $40,000-$50,000 for quick crack cash, would you suggest a money market, something like that?
You could. I'd probably use an online savings account. Right now, they're paying about 3.5%. I'd use something like Marcus, which is the retail side of Goldman Sachs, or Capital One 360, or Ally Bank. Any of those three, would they all have great customer service. They're online banks, no fees. You could link them to your checking account, and therefore you could move money back and forth within a, you know, a couple of days at no cost through an ACH transfer. But you're going to get, you know, a decent interest rate on that money, and that would be a great kind of emergency fund, if you will, you know, for you. And I think any of those three institutions would be really serve you really well, and they'd all have FDIC insurance.
And that was Marcus, Cap One 360, and what was the last one?
Ally Bank, ALLY. So Marcus, MARCUS.com, Capital One 360, or Ally Bank. Any of those three would serve you really well.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate
all right.
That.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for your call today. Let's see. To Montana in Texas. Go right ahead, Montana.
Good morning. Can you hear me well, Rob?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Yeah, my question is, how much is allowed capital investment? I have some mutual funds, investments, and stocks, and losses. So how much maximum allowed?
Yeah. So the way that works, Montana, is you would use your capital losses to offset your capital gains. So depending on, now we're talking, we have to have realized losses. So these are not unrealized, meaning you have to have sold these investments, whether it's stocks or mutual funds. And then at that point, you realize either a capital gain, which is either long-term or short-term. Long-term is over a year that you owned it. Short-term is less than a year. So you pay tax on any capital gains that you have. Now, any capital losses, long-term or short-term, would offset those gains. Now, if your capital losses exceed your capital gains, you have the ability to deduct up to $3,000 a year on your ordinary income taxes. If you have more than $3,000, then you can carry it forward to a future year. And if you want to deduct those losses, you'd use the IRS form 8949 and Schedule D on your tax return. So that's basically the way it works. Capital losses offset capital gains. And if they exceed your capital gains, then you can deduct up to $3,000 against your income. Does that make sense?
I think so, but so if I have only, I have three different investments, I can deduct only from one portfolio.
No, sir. So these are not retirement accounts, right? Is that correct?
I think I have one IRA account.
Okay. Now, that wouldn't apply here because the IRA is growing tax deferred. So there's no taxes being paid. So there's nothing to deduct. So you would just manage that money moving forward, and then when you withdraw the money in the future, you'd pay tax on it as it comes out. But if you have accounts that are not in an IRA, that's where this applies. So regardless of however many accounts it comes from, any sales of stocks or mutual funds, if you have a loss, that would offset any sales that you made at a profit. And then if you have those losses exceeding your gains, then that's where you can deduct up to $3,000 a year. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more. We'll be right back.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, this is the program where we recognize that God owns it all and we're stewards or managers of His resources, so we want to be found faithful as stewards of God's assets that He's entrusted to us. So we want to live within our means and we want to set some long-term goals. We want to align our values and our priorities as believers with how we handle God's money. Remember, the way we handle God's money is a reflection of what's important to us. Remember, Jesus said our heart follows our money. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The question is, are we taking our cues from this world or are we maintaining an eternal perspective? Is our heart following our money to the things that are going to last, or is it to the things that are fleeting? Now, we need to provide for our families, but are we living within God's provision, or are we getting caught up in the comparison trap? And where does generosity fit into all of that? Are we generous sowers? Remember, throughout Scripture, it says we're to be generous. We were made in the image of the Creator, the ultimate giver, God Himself. So we're most like Him when we're giving, because we were created and hardwired for community and relationships and to help one another. And when we do that, we can experience God's best, the joy that comes from being able to participate in God's activity. Well, that's what we want to do each day on this program, help you find God's heart for your money and make the very practical decisions and choices you're faced with every day, financially speaking. Let's round out the program today with our final calls. We'll be talking to Thomas and Carol, but next up in Louisiana, Cedric, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing well.
Program. Thank you for your ministry. And me and my wife want to buy a house, 100,000 four-bedroom. And I want to live in the reason I'm in New Orleans. Thank you.
Okay, let me make sure I understood that. You want to buy a house. You're looking to spend about $100,000, and you're looking to get a mortgage. And what was the question specifically you're wrestling with, Cedric?
Well, I don't know where to start. I'm puzzled. I want to know from you what maybe I should do. The lady before said I want to put about $10,000 down, 10, 20, 30. I said 10 because I don't have that much money. And I want a $100,000 house, a full bedroom, and I wanted to know where I could get some guidance from you all. Thank you.
Very good. I'd be happy to provide some guidance on this. So I love the fact that you've kind of targeted what you want to spend. I do want to offer, though, some counsel with regard to making sure that this fits into your budget. So typically, we would say there's a couple of rules of thumb, guidelines, if you will, Cedric, that we'd want to follow here when we're buying a house. These aren't hard and fast, but they're going to put you in a position to, you know, not get overextended financially. One has to do with the down payment. The other has to do with the monthly payment of the mortgage. Let's start with the down payment. I would recommend you try to put 20% down on the house. That's going to do a couple of things for you. It's going to ensure that you spend less amount over the life of the loan in interest. It's going to avoid private mortgage insurance, which is a monthly cost that doesn't benefit you. It goes to the lender to protect the lender, but you're always going to have private mortgage insurance if you have less than 20% equity in the house. And so by starting with 20% in the house, it's going to ensure that you don't have private mortgage insurance, and it's going to ensure that you don't ever get upside down in the house, which is just simply a way of saying if we were to get into a pretty severe recession, let's say the housing market were to decline, if you have only 10% equity in the house, it's possible, given where housing prices have risen to, that you could be upside down, meaning you owe more on the house than it's actually worth if you were to try to sell it. Well, going in with 20% down is going to ensure that, you know, just about in any situation is not going to happen. Now, that does mean, though, that you'd have to save up a $20,000 down payment for a $100,000 home. And that's not an insignificant amount of money. That's a lot of money. And so you're going to have to decide, can you wait long enough and can you live on less so that you can free up enough on a monthly basis to be able to put that away to build your down payment savings up to 20%, or in the case of a $100,000 purchase, $20,000. That would be my first recommendation. The second is to try to keep the mortgage payment, including the taxes and the insurance, to no more than 25% of your pay. And that's going to make sure that you have enough left over, Cedric, for all of your other expenses, you know, your giving and your electricity and the car and gasoline. I mean, all the monthly bills that you have, plus the discretionary spending that you're going to need to do, and something left over to put toward retirement and, you know, building up your savings, that kind of thing. So tell me where you're at with your down payment savings and whether you think you could wait and build up $20,000.
Well, I haven't started with the – thank you, Rob. I haven't started with the savings, but I'm pretty good. And my mother and father had $150 for electric. I brought it down to $60. I turned out the lights. Turn off
– good.
Everything. And I saved – it was the bill was $60. And that was pretty remarkable for me and my wife, you know, at the time. So I can save, sir. And I don't have anything other than cell phone bill, really.
Okay. How much do you think you could put away, Cedric, each month for the toward the down payment?
About $500, $600.
Okay, great.
Something like
and
that.
How much have you already saved up that you could use? Do you have anything currently?
No, sir. I'll be honest. No, sir. No, nothing.
Okay. All right.
I go wait 2 years.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think the other thing is I really want you to start with an emergency fund, which is a savings account that you can use for the unexpected, because the unexpected, as you and I know, always comes, right? So I generally say let's put 3 months' expenses away in an emergency savings account. So what that simply means is calculate the total amount you spend, you and your wife spend over a month's time, and then let's multiply that by three, and let's start with the goal to put that away in an emergency fund, and let's not touch that. That's not going to the house. And then once you get the 3 months' expenses in your emergency fund, now we're saving for the house, and our goal there is $20,000. And let's just be diligent every month to keep your budget as lean as you can so that you can put as much away as you can to eventually buy that house, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, Cedric. If I can help you further along the way, you give me a call. We appreciate you checking in with us. To Tennessee, hey, Tomas, how can I help you, sir?
Well, I was just wondering, is it prudent to pay the balance of my mortgage out of my 401k plan?
Generally not, Tomas, but let's talk about that. What is your age, sir?
I'm 65.
65. Have you retired or are you still working?
I'm retired.
Okay. Are you living off of that? Go ahead.
No, the reason I want to do this is because my spouse came down with a very bad illness, and so she will not be able to work.
I see.
So our income is going to get cut, and I was thinking if we pay this the mortgage balance off, we could possibly live off of my retirement.
Yes, sir, and that makes sense to me, and obviously that's your biggest expense. It is for most people at least, and so getting rid of that mortgage could help you right-size this. How much do you owe on the mortgage right now?
$120.
Okay, and what do you have in your retirement account?
About $560.
Okay. And are you currently drawing anything out of the $560?
No.
Okay. So you're living on what? Just Social Security and her her income?
And pension.
And a pension. Okay. But when her income goes away, then it's going to make it tougher to balance that. Is that right?
Well, we probably couldn't make it if I didn't have a mortgage.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense. All right, here's my only consideration. I like this plan, but there's a couple of things going on here. Number one is your 401k is probably down with the market, and so this is not an ideal time to sell the stocks.
Well, actually is up. Mine is about 2% up because
okay.
I was all in fixed.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So that's positive. The only other consideration is the taxes on it. Now, you won't have any penalties, but you will have taxes. I would have preferred we spread this over two tax years. So you took out a portion in 2022 and a portion in 2023, and then we could have roughly $60,000 in each tax year as opposed to all $120,000 in 1 year, which is going to push it up into a higher bracket. So you may just want to work. Do you have a CPA that you work with?
No, I've been handling all of that myself.
Okay.
But that makes a whole lot of sense. But I was just wondering, if I do that, how will I probably have to draw some money to accommodate the rest of our bills until the end of the year.
Well, and that's what I would look at. I would want you either yourself or with a CPA to calculate what's the added taxes I would pay by doing it all in 1 year, and is it beneficial for me to wait till next year and pay off half this year, half next year, and then draw what I need to make up the shortfall for the remaining months of this year until you pull it out next year. Just do the math on it and see if you're going to come out ahead by waiting and spreading it over 2 years, even though you might have to supplement your income by pulling from that retirement account. Does all that make sense?
Absolutely. Do y'all have a CPA on the staff so I can make a phone call?
We don't, but if you connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Tennessee, just ask for a referral to a godly CPA. Go to my website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click Find a CKA. That stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. Do a zip code search and then just ask for a referral to a CPA and they can help you. God bless you, Tomas. Thanks for calling. Carol, I apologize we didn't get to your call today, but if you stay on the line, we'll get your number and see if we can get you on first tomorrow. Let me say thank you to my team today, handling our phones, Pat Montague, our producer today, Devin Patrick, and helping me with research and support, my good friend Jim Henry. God bless you, folks. Thanks for being along with us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.